Church, and welcome again to Lars Naz Online. We are so glad you joined with us this morning. Wherever you are, we are glad you're here. Now, we're coming to you again from Pastor Tasha's childhood home in South Carolina, and you may notice that there's a Christmas tree and a couple of ladders here behind us, and that's because the festive decorations are going up. Tasha's mom likes to have the house all decked out for the season when all the family shows up and gathers for Thanksgiving Day. And that's coming up in just a few days. Thursday of this next week is Thanksgiving. And then on Thanksgiving weekend, the next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent. So the holidays are upon us. And we are so thankful to be able to spend this time visiting here in the U.S.
We are definitely excited to be spending this time with family, especially after being away for the last couple of years and being unable to travel, even though we really wanted to. We're already beginning preparations for the different dishes that are traditional to our family for Thanksgiving Day. Now, many of you in our local in-person congregation in Lars will remember last year when we sent out Thanksgiving parcels that included a dessert that's been in our family for generations. It's a staple in many Southern homes that each family has kind of adapted according to their tastes and whatever is available locally as far as ingredients are concerned. It's basically a fruit salad made with orange and fruit cocktail and cherries and pineapple. And it's traditionally served with pecans or pecans and coconut sprinkled on top. And so we're thankful that we got to share that tradition with you all last year.
What's that called?
It's called ambrosia.
Ambrosia.
This year, our family gathering will be a little smaller than it's been in the years past, but we are ever grateful for not only our local family here in the States, but also for our family in Largs. And we look forward to seeing you and worshiping with you again very, very soon.
We are so thankful for you all, and we look forward to being with you again. Just a few reminders that while we're away, Lars Naz will continue to meet for our pre-brunch worship every Sunday at 10:30. Doors open at 10:15. And remember, we need to wear face coverings for that and during the worship. And after that at 11, we'll still meet for our Sunday brunch, but there won't be the full meal, and there also won't be any charge for that. And we'll watch our online service together as you're doing right now. And we sure appreciate all the treats that are being served to you folks that have been provided by our Lars Naz bakers.
Yes. Now,
again, you also don't need to make a reservation while we're gone. That's just for November, and things will return to normal starting in December. And our online services will continue as usual, so please continue to join us right here each week. And we also continue to meet for our in-person prayer time at the church on Wednesdays at 10 a.m. So we hope you'll join us for that. Also remember that there's no second helping Bible study in November, but be sure to join us for the one that we'll have in December.
Yes.
Now before we go to worship, let's pray together. We gather to give thanks to you, O Lord, with all our heart. We will sing your praises before creation and rejoice in your steadfast love. You have created us, O Lord, and made us for yourself. In you, we become everything you have made us to be. We pray all this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go to worship together.
Glad adoration. Father, we thank you for coming and inhabiting the praises of your people today, even as we connect over the ones and zeros of the internet, that you are there with us in our physical spaces, and you're inhabiting the breath in our lungs, and you're giving us life, and you're giving us the ability to praise you. And so we just thank you for your grace. We thank you that you can speak to us through the word. And so now help us to hear what you would have to say to us through this message. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our speaker this morning is Reverend Claire Fender, who until just a few months ago served as our district superintendent.
Reverend Fender calls herself a Welsh girl serving the Lord in Scotland, and she is in her 25th year of ministry. She's currently serving as pastor for the development of licensed and international ministers for the British Isles North District, and she's also doing maternity cover at our Parkhead Church in Glasgow. Anyone who knows her knows that she loves Jesus and she loves chocolate. So much so that she's known as Rev Chalky. We are so excited to hear what the Lord has laid on Reverend Claire's heart this morning.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's such a delight to be with you all in Largs Church, albeit via the miraculous power of technology. It's a privilege to be invited to share God's word with you today. But first of all, I want to ask you all a question. What are you most thankful for in the entire world? Is your immediate response, oh, family, friendship, health, home, a new job, a new day? Well, I'm really pleased if you're thankful for all those things, but I hope you are most thankful for Jesus, for his dying love for you and me, for his rising again for you and me, and interceding now at the right hand of God for you and me. But another question, I also wonder, are you good at saying thank you? It was something I was constantly reminded of as a child, and I'm not so young now, but it does me no harm to be reminded of that once in a while. You know, there was a time when Jesus healed 10 lepers, but only one came back to say thank you. Today we're going to ask ourselves afresh, how will we say thank you to God for Jesus? Now, Jesus himself shows us one way to give thanks to God. Remember the time of the miraculous feeding of the 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. We're told that Jesus says in John's Gospel, he took the loaves and he gave thanks and he blessed them and gave them to all who were gathered. And so perhaps that's why we say thank you at the dinner table today for our food. But today's Bible reading is a testimony from the psalmist who asks the question, how will I say thank you to the Lord for all that he has done? Well, have your Bibles open at Psalm 116 and let us reflect on this song together. Psalm 116, and we start with the first 4 verses, the love of God. The psalmist writes, I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him for as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord, save me. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. That's my testimony today, and it's that of the psalmist too. Listen to how the song begins. I love the Lord because he heard my cry. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice. I love the Lord because he has saved me. But it was more common for the psalmist to begin his psalms with phrases about trusting God, seeking refuge in God, or waiting upon God. But here there is a personal testimony of the love of God. The psalmist is expressing his thankfulness to God. And more than that, in this desperate season of his life, and we're not specifically sure what it is, the psalmist, though so distressed, is so thankful that God has heard him and that God loves him. And he says, so much so, I'm just going to call on the name of the Lord. I'm not going to call on any other God or deity. I'm only going to call on the one true God. What a testimony to the love of God for you and me. Do you love the Lord today? Well, if you do, have you told him? Have you declared to God why you love him? And if you're struggling for a reason, the psalmist gives us lots in verses 1 and 2. And John, in his letter, also reminds us why we love God. We love him because he first loved us. So take a moment just now to simply say, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. And then moving on to verses 5 to 9, we read a bit about the character of God. Verse 5, the Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I trusted in the Lord when I said, I am greatly afflicted. In my alarm, I said, everyone is a liar. The character of God in these verses. In light of his deliverance and answered prayer, the psalmist praised the gracious, righteous, and compassionate character of God. Now, at the Passover festival and at Jesus' last meal with his disciples, Jesus sang these and other psalms of worship, probably Psalms 113 to 118, known as the Hallelujah Psalms. It was where they remembered how God had saved them on the night of the angel of death that had struck all the Egyptian firstborn. And so Jesus sang it like a testimony to God, to the truth of who he was, his character. He was gracious, righteous, and merciful towards him. What characteristics of God have you encountered and experienced? Well, for me, my God is forgiven towards me. My God is so loving towards me. My God is a guiding God. You too can go on and describe the many characteristics of God that you have experienced and encountered in your journey with Jesus. So we thought a bit about the love of God and the character of God. But here in verses 12 to 14, which for me is the crucial part of our psalm today, we hear about the gift of God. Verse 12. What shall I return to the Lord for his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of his people. We have a good, good God, don't we? The psalmist testifies to the goodness of God who saved him, gave him rest from all the distress that he was experiencing, even rescued him from death. And his declaration here implies that God's goodness to him is actually beyond measure. The old hymn, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Have you said thank you to God today for all that he has done for you, for his many gifts and blessings to you and to me? Count your blessings. Go on, just for a moment. You've got so many, right? You've lost count. Well, I'm struck by the thankful hearts of many and their testimonies to God that we find in the scriptures. For instance, the Apostle Paul gave thanks for or on behalf of his companions and the churches to whom he wrote many of his letters. He gave thanks for the Romans' faith, which was heard of throughout the entire world. For the Philippians, Paul thanked God upon every remembrance of them. Then there was Daniel, a Jew. As a captive, he was brought from Jerusalem to Babylon around age 12, and he became one of the wise men in King Nebuchadnezzar's palace. But then a crisis came and the king forgot a dream he had. And he expected his wise courtiers to come up with his dream or face death. Well, they didn't. But God answered Daniel's prayer and revealed the dream to him and its interpretation. And what is Daniel's response? Well, he immediately gives thanks to God with a prayer. He says, I offer thanks and praise to you, God of my fathers, because you've given me wisdom and power. That's in Daniel chapter 2. And then as we know, the psalmist often gives thanks to God. Psalm 9, I will thank the Lord with all my heart and I will declare your wondrous works. But our author today asks the question in verse 12. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? How will I say thank you for all that he has done for me? Well, the psalmist responds, I'm going to take up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. Now, when we hear this cup of salvation, we're reminded of Jesus asking for the cup, if possible, to be taken away from him, and so that it wasn't his will, but that God's will may be done. And perhaps we recall the interesting conversation between two brothers with Jesus. James and John ask to be seated at the right and left hand of Jesus in the kingdom. And Jesus asks them if they can drink the cup that he is about to drink. Well, they proclaim, we can, but not having any idea of what that might mean. And Jesus simply says, well, one day they will indeed drink from his cup, but to sit at his left or his right is not for his to grant. So lots of thoughts come to mind when we think about taking up a cup, and some commentators think, oh, it's just a figure of speech. This is my cup, this is my lot, and I'm just going to have to take it. For others, this is a phrase relating to the common practice of the Jews in their thank offerings. This was where a feast was made of the remainders of all the sacrifices, and the offerers, together with the priests, ate and drank before the Lord. And then the master of the feast took the cup into his hand, solemnly blessed God for it. But when we look at our psalm today, the psalmist is overwhelmed by God's goodness and his benefits to him, his salvation from death, and he barely knows how to say thank you to God. What could he offer God? It seems he doesn't have much, and there's a stark reality within him that what he does have, he has already received from God. And Psalm 50 tells us, well, God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. God doesn't need anything. And we have nothing anyway, which isn't already his. But let me tell you, that's not a reason to withhold our thanks to God. Recognizing he has nothing to give, the psalmist takes what God has given him and he takes more. It's like being given a dinner plate full of the richest and finest foods. Then when it's clear and we've had our fill, we become like Oliver and we say, oh, please can I have some more? We take a second helping and maybe even a third. Well, if you want to thank God for his love, his goodness and his grace, then ask him for more. Really? Asking for more in this instance is like saying, thank you, Jesus. So our psalmist says, I have nothing to give, and particularly nothing that will compare with what you have given me, Lord. So this is what I'm going to do. He says, I'm just going to take up your cup. I'm going to drink and drink and drink some more from your mug of mercy. One commentator says, it is a profound insight. The only way we can repay God, from whom everything comes, is by taking even more from him. Isn't that humbling? I was taught that I don't give to receive, and we're encouraged to give without expecting anything in return. Yet what I hadn't always anticipated is that when we give something, that somebody else would want to take even more than I have offered to give them. But love delights in giving, and God delights in giving to us. He gave us all he had. He gave us Jesus, his only son. God gave us so much when he sent Jesus. He sent Jesus to show us himself. And we just take and take and take more of his love and his mercy and his grace. I will take up the cup, the psalmist says. I will call on the name of the Lord. Not a resignation of that's all I can do, but really a consecration from his heart that this is what I can do to say thank you to God. And he reinforces his thankfulness to God when he says, I'm going to take the cup and I'm going to call on his name. There's no one else he could call on or thank for such a gift. And so to call on the name of the Lord was a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to the God who gives and gives and gives and gives again. And we see that here in the closing verses of Psalm 116. We've heard about the love of God, the character of God, the gift of God. And now it's about our praises to God, our thankfulness to Him. Verses 15 to 19. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His faithful servants. Truly, I am your servant, Lord. I serve you just as my mother did. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. A psalmist doesn't leave it with just taking up the cup. He makes a promise in the courts of the Lord's house. The psalmist would proclaim his praise and his gratitude towards God. His vow was he was going to go public with his praise before God, wherever he is and to whomever he meets. What a testimony. Is this ours today? To publicly give thanks and praise to God for his goodness to us? Make sure we're like that one leper and not the nine. Let us come with thankful hearts before God today. And when he offers us some of his love and grace, then let's drink more and more and more out of that cup of mercy. And let's proclaim his praise. Let us not be afraid to go public about the goodness of God. Think of a moment or two that you might have just now or later in the day. Let's be mindful and intentional to say thank you, God, to wait upon him and to drink from his cup of mercy and grace. May the Lord bless us today as we continue to worship and honor his name. Amen.
Go from this place with joy, giving thanks to God, proclaiming his goodness, celebrating his love, and worshiping him with your lives. For he is the Lord our God, faithful to 1,000 generations, and may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and among you in the days ahead. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Soul. Praise Him.